One caravans on the mountains, one caravans from the sea, one caravans made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One pair of hands on the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. One pair of hands heal the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
everybody, Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world on WWCR. We're glad to have you in here with us tonight. Got a great program, part two, concerning the Godhead. We're talking about the Trinity. This is part two. You don't want to miss it. Call a friend and a neighbor and tell them that Pastor Buddy is on the air tonight. I'd like to get into the question of the Godhead. We'd like to see just exactly what the Scriptures has got to say about the Godhead. Now, let's begin tonight, and we're thankful to be here tonight in the land of the living. A lot of trouble going on in the world. And listen, the Bible talks about living in troubled times, in the end times. We know we're there. Because there's an almost resounding answer in the Bible when it says that there will not come an end except there come a falling away. Well, we're in the beginning of a falling away. We don't know how far it'll get or how bad it'll get. The Messiah asked himself, he said, will I find faith on earth when I return? And so then tonight, let's look into the Godhead. It's very important for you to understand who you're worshiping and how you worship Him. Now, in St. John chapter 4, verse 24, God. Now, we're talking about the Godhead. God is a spirit. Now, which one impregnated the little Hebrew woman, Miriam, we call her Mary in English, which one of those impregnated Miriam? Was it the father that impregnated the daughter, Mary, or was it the Holy Spirit? Now the Bible says that the father overshadowed her, and she became pregnant. Now, you've got to decide, if you believe there's three of them, to dissect the Godhead and figure out which one was the father of the one we call the Son. Is the word Trinity in the Bible? The answer is no. Does the Bible say that there are three persons in the Godhead? And the answer is no. Does the Bible speak of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? The answer is yes. So then, again, is it the Father or the Holy Ghost that is the Father of the Son? That's your dilemma. Now, the Bible says, great is the mystery of the Godhead. 1 Timothy 3:16 declares that. Romans 1:20 declares that. Colossians 2:9 declares that. And Colossians 1:13. He, God, delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his Son. Now, if the Father had a Son through the woman, then it was the Father that got Miriam pregnant. Then that must mean that the Father and the Spirit, God is the Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. The truth is, in the Godhead, the Father and the Holy Ghost is the same one. That's the same person. Now, by being three persons in the Godhead, as we are taught in the Trinity, that's an error. There are not three persons in the Godhead. The Bible nowhere says that there's three persons in the Godhead. That's confusion. Do the titles used in Matthew 28:19, which says, in truth, go into all of the world and preach, baptizing them, that's the subjects, that's going to believe that the Son was an offspring from the Father and the woman, making him both God and man. Now, how could God literally become a man? Well, it was very simple. God the Father overshadowed Mary, and she got pregnant, and out of her womb came her Son. Now, this Son was both born with the Father, the Spirit, the eternal Godhead, and born of a woman, making him God and man. Now, how could we compromise that situation when he had to be fully God? Well, at some point, 33 years later to be exact, he put off the sonship. The Son no longer lives. He died. He's not alive. We know him, although we've known him as the Son, from henceforth, the Bible says, we know him no more. But the Son and his function was to tell us who the Father was. And when we were told by the Son, most people wouldn't believe it. A lot of people refuted it. He couldn't accept it and threw stones at him, according to John in chapter 10:30, when he said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews, the unbelievers, the Pharisees, the leaders of the church, they took up stones again to stone him. And they stoned him for the purpose of what he said. And what he said was that he was God. Now that really sets some people's teeth on edge. They cannot accept these persons in the Godhead after they have been taught that they are three separate distinct persons, such as baptized in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. That didn't make the three separate names or three titles to be baptized in. All of these refer to the three offices and the roles or the relationship in the Godhead as it reflects back to the earthen, which is us in the flesh, that we believe, if we believe that there's one God, we believe well, for the devil believes and he trembles. Now, again, if we believe that there's one God, we believe well, for the devils believe and tremble. Does the Bible use the word three in reference to God? And the answer is no. Only one verse in the entire Bible is similar, but it don't say Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What does it say, Pastor Buddy? Well, let's go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. And in that verse it says, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And concludes, after it says Father, Word, and Holy Ghost, these three are one. The Father is God. The Word is God. The Word was made flesh. And the Holy Ghost is God. Therefore, these are not three as the Trinitarian concept of a Trinity, which the word Trinity is not in the Bible, so beware. Does the Bible use the word one in reference to God? Well, I just quoted you the one in James 2:19. If you believe that there's one God, you believe well. There's many references, and I could quote them probably the rest of the program that still have scriptures to quote. If, for example, if you look at Zechariah 14:9, in that day there shall be one Yahweh, says one Lord in your Bible. Now we know that the word Lord is not in the Bible. It's been added to the text. The real name, 6,823 times, as it was translated out, was YHWH, the name that I proclaim tonight, that is the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. For the Father said many times in Malachi 2:10, Matthew 23:9, Mark 12:28-29, and 32, John 8:41, the one I just told you was John 10:30, Romans 3:30, 1 Corinthians 8:4, Galatians 3:20, 1 Timothy 2:5, and James, that I've already quoted, 2:9. That's just a sampling of the mystery, the scriptures, that says there's one God. Now, if I was to tell you that one God was manifest in three different persons, each being equal or separate, but inseparable, as the mystery of the Godhead is reputed to be expressed in a Trinity, Trinitarians make this thing more complicated and try to confound the mystery of the Godhead. The Bible says in Romans 1:20 that the Godhead is clearly seen. once you know it. Now, when it's presented to you in a Trinitarian concept, of course, if you pray to the Father, and then you pray to the Son, and then you pray to the Holy Ghost, and if you're like Catholics, you pray to every saint that's ever been canonized. And you still don't get the truth, because you don't believe the truth. Now remember, God is a spirit. God and the Father are the same person. They're not two substances. God was the eternal spirit. God, Father, was the eternal spirit, and the Son was the flesh expression. The Bible says about the Son, He is the express image. Now let me read it to you here. Again, in whom we have, after we're translated into the kingdom of His Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Verse 15, Colossians chapter 1. He is the image, talking about the Son, where He is the image of the invisible God. Now, if God's a spirit, you can't see a spirit. Now, if the visible part of God expressed itself through a body of flesh, then the Son could rightfully say, my Father. And yet the Father and the carnal mind, you would think that the carnal mind would present it to you in a reference of trying to understand the Godhead, that the Father is a separate entity, which He's not. The Father was in the Son, reconciling the world unto Himself. Now, let me repeat that. That's very important for you to hear this tonight and to solve the mystery of the Godhead. The Father, God, was in the Son. Now, if the Father, the eternal Spirit, was in the Son, possessed Him fully, you say, well, what do you mean, possessed Him fully? Well, let me read on you. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth. The Son is the creating factor, visible and invisible, whether be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him, not them, and for Him, not them. Him is a singular, the Godhead is singular. After the Son was killed, now the Father gave the Son that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish. Whosoever would call upon the name of that Son, the name of that Father, and the name of that Holy Ghost would have a promise. Now remember, the mystery of the Godhead, as they complicated in a Trinitarian concept, is to be understood according to Romans 1:20 clearly, and Colossians 2:9, and the one I'm reading here in 1, beginning at the 15th verse, He's the head of the body. Now remember, the body is the Godhead. He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, who raised after the Son died. See, we know Him no more after the Son. He put off the sonship. He's no more the Son, because it was the Father that was in Him that departed His body on the torture stake. And then when He raised that same body that He died in, the Father returned back to that body we call the Son. Now remember, the Son died. But the Father got back in the Son. The Father was in the Son, reconciling the world. This is how He reconciled the world back to Him, through the death of His Son. And so then, if the death of his son was the reconcilement of the world, you can see very plainly why that the Messiah, the Son, said to Philip, "He that has seen the Father has seen me," or "He that has seen me has seen the Father," John 14:9. Because the Son was the expressed image. The expressed image. For by him, for it pleased, for he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. You've got to give the Father now the preeminence as he rose up that dead flesh body called the Son, and the sonship was put off. Now we know, we no longer know him after the Son, but we know him in the fellowship of the Father. For the Father seeketh such to worship him, not in a fleshly carnal mind, as those who try to express the Trinity. You've got to be spiritually minded. Listen to this one now. For it pleased, verse 19, Colossians 1:19. I want you to mark this one in your Bible. It's very important. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. So when I talk about the Godhead, with the question, does the Bible say there's a Trinity? The answer is no. Does the Bible say there are three persons in the Godhead? The answer is no. So then, if we believe in the Trinitarian concept that three separate, distinct persons in the Godhead exist, we could soundly say, no, that's not true. But there were three that bear record in heaven. Who are they? Again, let me quote up here, and let me give you a little diagram in your mental concept. Just think of me, picture me, standing at a whiteboard, and I write down, there are three that bear record in heaven. Now, if you're Trinitarian, you're going to say the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. But the Bible does not say the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. It says the Father, 1 John 5:7. It says the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. The Father is God. The Word is God, according to John 1:1, John 1:14, and John 1:10. And so then, I could truthfully say that the Father is God, the Word is God, and the Holy Ghost is God, and that don't make three gods. Although people try to confuse the Godhead, when the Bible again says in Romans 1:20, the Godhead is clearly seen. You need to see this. It's very important for you. You cannot understand the mystery of the Godhead until you believe that the Father is the fullness of the Godhead bodily, for the Father filled the Son completely. There's not two persons in that body. When the Messiah said in the 14th chapter of the book of John that he would send the Holy Spirit to you, that they would come to you, he wasn't talking about the Holy Spirit in a split sense, or a second person. For we know that God was in Christ. Here it is. Verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him, not the Son, didn't please the Son, it pleased the Father, that in him all the fullness should dwell. Now, the Father who gave the Son and the sonship died on the torture stake. And the reason that the sonship died, the father departed the body of the son. Can you see that? The eternal spirit left that body. It was three things that left that body. You got to understand this. Again, if I'm teaching on a whiteboard, you can see this. Three things that departed the body on the torture stake: water, blood, and spirit. Now, according to, again, chapter 5, verse John, we see here that there are three things that bear record on earth: water, blood, and spirit. Three things that the Father gave that was in that body of the Son, the sonship that he's seeking to put off. Although we knew him after the title, the Son, now we don't know him anymore, for the Father, the blood and the water departed that body, with the Spirit being the last thing that departed that broken, bruised, and humiliated body called the Son. Now here he is. You're under conviction. You want to forgive or have forgiveness for you crucifying the Son. And you were guilty. Your sins, he bared your sins. So each individual person must seek his own soul salvation from that point. With the three things that left the body, water, blood, and spirit, you must have those three things to get back into heaven that agree with the three things that are in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three things are one. Can you see that? I pray that the Father would open your understanding to see this, the thing called a mystery. When the mystery of the Godhead is easily understood, if you can have faith, without faith it's impossible to please him. Does the one who becomes a Christian, does he have three gods to worship? When we go back to the monotheism of the old parchment, meaning one Yahweh, the old parchment doesn't speak in reference of something us or them or other. It only had one God. If you believe that there's one Yahweh, you believe well. Hear, O Israel, Yahweh is one. Mark 12:28. Can you see that? Hear, O Israel. John 5:43, the Son said himself, I come in my Father's name. It was a heavenly name that the Son came in. This heavenly name is declared throughout the Scriptures, although if you are wise enough to understand and study a little bit deeper than a Bible that you go down to your bookstore and buy, you've got to be able to rightly divide that Bible that you bring home and get your highlighter out and start highlighting things that become an interest to you. Unless you believe James 2:19, Christ said it himself, unless you believe that I am, this is the causative verb to be, again, as he's highlighting that if you would do some research into I am, the great I am, and if you do not believe that I am he, he said you'll die in your sins. In Matthew 23:9, it says there's one heavenly Father. Now that heavenly Father, who was a spirit, desired to come down and walk among us. In a, if you will, a disguised body. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. John 1 and 10. He was in the world. Who? The Son. That came and died. But the Father got his ticket to ride in the Son. If you understand what I'm talking about, the eternal spirit flooded that body. Now, he didn't flood it until Luke chapter 3. The Son managed on his own. The Bible said he became obedient and learned obedience. Now, do you understand that? For the first years of his life until he was 30 years old, he had to make it on his own. Oh yes, he was God. He could multiply bread. He'd done that many times. But until he was filled with the Holy Ghost, until that body opened to receive the fullness like you have to do, as it's written on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost fell and there were baptized or filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible said that the Spirit descended upon him. The Father expressed himself through the Son by saying, "This now is my Son, in whom," not of whom, "in whom." Each time the reference is made by the Father speaking in the first person, declaring second person, the Son, that he's not referring to him as he's well pleased, but in whom he's well pleased, making the sonship the fullness of the Godhead bodily, as is expressed in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 19. And by him, verse 20, and by him, to reconcile all things to himself by him. So the Father used the body of the Son to express himself. The Son said, "I came," in John 5:43. He said, "I come in the Father's name." Now, if you could see this great mystery here, we wouldn't even have to go any farther. You could get the point right here. If you're not baptized in the name of that family, and the Bible says the whole family in heaven and earth is in one name. That's critical for you to see that. Unless you can get that. You say, "Well, I'm baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost." You're baptized in the titles, not the name. I hope you can see that. I don't want to offend you. You say, "Well, you would have to get re-baptized." Yes, you will. Why? Because it's very important. And I cannot express the mystery of the deity that's hidden from some people as it's recorded. They have eyes to see and can't see. In Luke 10, 21 and 22, they have ears to hear and can't hear. I hope you're not one of those that's listening to Pastor Buddy tonight. If you're baptized in the title, trying to justify a Trinity, the Bible says that you must be born in his name, and the whole family is in one name. Now, we think, when I read the New Testament, I thought this was God's Word, and some copyist was copying it just exactly like it came out of the mouth of God. I was that naive. I hope you're not that naive to believe that the book they handed you with the 66 books in it called the King James. Or if you're reading some other, the Farfetch'd or any other edition of your choice, and you think that this is God's Word right out of his mouth without any interpretation, without any study to understand when he said to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and you do some study time and figure out, number one, what the Father's name is. Well, that's why that I'm teaching on the question of the Godhead. He's the fullness. It pleased the Father. The Godhead can be understood. It is very important for you to see this. Look at Colossians 2 and 9. Now, let me turn there, and that we know what the 2 and 9 is going to say, but let me turn there and read it. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Not in them. There's no three dwelling in the Godhead. A father, an old man with a beard, sitting with a cane and a shepherd's crook, watching steadily over his son, ready to punish anybody that mistreats him. Ladies and gentlemen, your carnal nature would mistreat him. Your carnal mind is enmity. You are altogether born in sin with a carnality, and you would become guilty of mistreating him. We all have sinned and come short. That's why Philip wanted to be reassured. And that's why that the Messiah said back to Philip, he that has seen me has seen the Father. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In who? In him. Not them. Not us. I wish we could get away from the carnal mind. I wish we could get and see the oneness of this great name that I am trying to reference you to through the Son. I hope that through the Son, you can acknowledge him. You've got to acknowledge the Son who came to declare the Father. And the Father was in the bosom of the Son. Do you understand that? The Father is the eternal Spirit. The Father, being the fullness of a Godhead, was disguised behind the eyes that looked out of this body. He was disguised with the hands that was attached to that body, that raised the dead, that cast out devils, that healed the sick, that walked on the water, turned water to wine, multiplied bread, done all of these unmistakable miracles that the scriptures proclaim, and yet some people still don't understand the Godhead. Does the Bible say that there are two persons in a Godhead? No. Does the Bible say that all the Godhead is revealed in one person? Yes. It reveals the Messiah, Yahweh the Messiah, according to 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, in Colossians 1:19, in 2 and 9, the one I just read. He's the fullness of the Godhead. In Hebrews 1 and 3. Now, again, who's the Father? When he said, baptize in the name of the Father, wouldn't it be of great importance for you to find out who the Father is? What is his name? Oh, they don't really matter. He's got many names. That's a lie. And I resent anybody that implies he's got many names. I don't know if anybody's got many names on the earth. You're in his likeness. You're made in his image. You have a spirit that wants to acknowledge him, but you've got a puffed up carnal mind of pride. You've been going to the wrong church too long, worshiping the Trinity. I'm trying to figure that out and acting like it's some big mystery. Where was God the Father when the Messiah was on earth? You know, you heard this question. My Father is greater than I am. I want to ask you a question. If the Father was in the Son, and was talking about the distinction between the two, when he said also, well, whatever I see my Father do, that I do. Whatever the Father suggests I do, that I do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son, just like you. When he tells you something, are you going to do it? Is there the two persons in you? Or is Christ in you, the hope of glory? Well, if he's not the Father God, you've got a different deity in your temple. And if you're confused, thinking you've got more than one, you're like, again, Luke 10:21 and 22, the mystery of the deity is hidden from you. Did the prophet Isaiah prophesy that the Messiah would be the Father? And the answer is yes. Isaiah 9 and 6. Listen to it. Unto us a son is born. The government's going to be upon his shoulder. In other words, he's going to carry the burden of the operation of salvation, and salvation in no other name except the one that came to reveal who the Father was. The apostles didn't even know what the Father's name was. They had already forgotten it for Baal, Lord. Well, the Lord loves you, honey. Glory to God, Shunda. We've been taken down the primrose path of deception by the thinking and looking at a way that seems right. Every man's way seems on right until we examine it with the truth of the Scriptures. How can he hear without a preacher? How can he preach except he be sent? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word. We're not talking about the written word as much as we're talking about the spoken word in the heart. If the written word don't agree with the spoken word out of your heart, you've got another spirit, for there's many spirits that's gone out into the world. I've seen all kinds. I really have. I have seen men on the straight path, and all of a sudden the spirit come upon them and turn them 90 degrees, and they go a different way, calling on another name. Satan will send a strong delusion to those people that seem right, directed from the Father. If these things are hidden, it's hidden because you're lost. And I hope and trust that you're not lost. Listen to this. Was the Father in Christ? John 14:10 says it was. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19 says he was. And while he was in Christ, he was also in heaven. For he's the fullness. He fills heaven and earth. He's the only one that is omnipresent. He's everywhere at once. Now, you being a person, you couldn't have those attributes. Yes, he wept. But yes, he raised. You would understand that unholy men crept in unaware and did some, if you will, some figuring. Now, the figures don't lie, but the liars do figure. And the way they figured things out was that they needed a Greek-Latin God to place in the Godhead as the second person in the Godhead. Now, that's the unholy Catholic Church. Now, those who are Protestant or protesters came out of the whore and hated her, but they retained the same name that she gave them when she is the author of the New Testament. as they compiled the letters written by the apostles had never heard of a name called Jesus. Because they worshiped the Hebrew God. And the Hebrew God's name is not Jesus. It's Yahweh. 6,823 times alone in the old parchment. Why do people designate as the life person in the Trinity the Holy Ghost and deny that's the Father? When they're trying to explain to you, these two of them. And when they get to the Son, that's three of them, separate but inseparable. And they made a big to-do out of the Trinity, called it a Holy Trinity, and deceived most of the world through the mode of baptism of Matthew 28:19, when it says to baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It didn't say names. It didn't say titles. It said the Father's name, the Son's name, and the Holy Ghost's name. There's not three names, just like the Godhead is not divided. Neither is the name divided. For the Father had a name, the Son had a name, and the Holy Ghost had a name, and that name was one. By one name, we're all baptized into one body. Figure out what it is. You say, well, I know, Acts 2:38. It's Jesus. Well, I got hooked on that one for 30 years. I fished in those waters for 30 years thinking that I was right. And when I found out that ever who compiled the New Testament scriptures wanted purposely to change the name of the Father in the Old Parchment or the Old Testament into a Greek Latin name. And that's why that if you often wonder why when Pilate wrote his name in three languages and placed it on this torture stake where the sonship was put off, why they can never show you the three names that he wrote up there. You ever wonder why? They're at a loss for words because they know there's not three names and they wouldn't dare do that. But they would dare have you believe in a Trinity that expresses three names, each one being separate but inseparable, but different. Now, could the Messiah be on earth and be in heaven at the same time? Where is your Father? That's what the Jews said. Where is your Father? They heard this voice that spoke out of heaven. And the voice that spoke said, this is my beloved Son, not of whom, again, in the 17th chapter of Matthew, but in him. You go to Luke chapter 3, where I told you that the Holy Spirit lit upon him like a dove. It was the voice from heaven that spoke and declared, this is my beloved Son, not of whom, again, notice the word, I'm surprised they're not changed that. Not of whom, but in whom, I'm well pleased. The Father was pleased to dwell, the Godhead, to dwell in that body created of a flesh. Therefore, he could truly say that he died for you. Was God's blood shed for you? It says so. Does the Bible say there is but one? Isaiah 45:18. Read it. Isaiah declared, now there you'll read Lord, take out the Lord and put in YHWH. Don't put in WRD, as some foolishly do. Because he was more than the word. The word is something that's spoken into existence. The one that spoke it is the one you better get the name on there. Because the Son had that same name that spoke everything into existence through YHWH, the causative verb to be I am, Hayah. He is the living, the firstborn, that in him he would have all the preeminence, the firstborn from the dead. And it pleased the Father to dwell in him. Now the Father didn't suffer. It was the Son that felt the nails. It was the Son that felt the agony of the thorns and the whip and the beating. And the Father waited patiently, that Spirit, long-suffering. And when the flesh died, the Father was released, the eternal Spirit, from that body at that hour, at that moment, and went and preached to the souls that was disobedient in the days of Noah. He came after the resurrection that is seen in Matthew 27, verse 56 through 58, that eternal Spirit spoke in the earth, the heart of the earth, and the dead sang a song, the 144,000, that only those who were spoken to, which made up the bride, so the bridegroom went into the grave, got a bride, rose it up in the first resurrection, and is now coming back in the second resurrection, for those who would be partakers of his Holy Spirit, that would understand these mysteries that I'm talking about. Does the Bible say that the Messiah, the Almighty? Read Revelation and you'll find out. 1 and 8. I'm he that liveth and was dead. I'm he that was to come, the Almighty. Did the Messiah tell Satan that he alone should be worshipped? If you'll read Matthew 4 and 10, you'll find out. And the devil don't believe in three gods. This Trinity is hatched up with the inspiration, because you see, wise men like to be wise and get something complicated for you to believe in. But the devil is simple. He knows there's one, and he trembles. What purpose was the eternal Spirit manifested in the flesh according to John 1:14? And the Bible is simple. It's to save those who sinned. Hebrews 2 and 9. Was he manifest in the flesh? I dare you to read 1 Timothy 3:16. You might get a different ideal about the Trinity that you've been taught falsely. Does the Bible say that there's but one Yahweh or one Lord? Read Isaiah 45:18. Yes. 45:18. Read the book of Isaiah 43:10 and 11. If you want to know who the Savior is, it tells you very plainly. Will he give his glory to another? If you read 42 and 8, you'll find out he won't. What is one thing that Yahweh don't know? Read 44, Isaiah 44 and 8. That's another God. What is the one thing that Yahweh can't do? Fly. Titus 1 and 2. How many gods should we recognize and confess? Only one. Hosea 13 and 4. How many names does he have? read Zechariah 14:9. I've done quoted that, but I want you to write it down. Is it good to think upon the name of
the true creator?
Read Malachi 3:16. Does it say, after the Messiah walked on the water, does it say that God alone treads upon the waves of the sea? Read Job 9:8. That's the reason that he was able to walk upon the Sea of Galilee in Matthew 14:25, because he alone was God the Creator. Is God, Yahweh, is he the only one who can forgive sin? Again, Isaiah 43:25, and Mark 2:7. They criticized him for doing it, but he done it. The man standing there in a body of flesh was the eternal God, disguised in a body here in the Son. The Father dwelled in the Son. And the Son was the true God, according to 1 John 5:20. Well, I've got to close. My time is come and gone. Part 2 of the Trinitarian concept, and we hope and trust tonight that you have been blessed by some of the scriptures and the revelation of the word. Study the scriptures to see if you've passed from death unto life. Notice now, next Sunday night we'll be back and teaching again on the mystery of the Godhead, as we are teaching a series of revelations on these very subjects, along with the declaration of his name, one name, by one name, are we all baptized into one body. This name is above every name. It's not Jesus. Jesus is less than 500 years old. Proven fact, if you'll read the original 1611, his name was never Jesus. It's been, if you will, manufactured or evolved or changed. And Yahweh's not pleased with those who would change his name. Yahweh wants you to stand for his truth. He wants you to watch and wait. For he's coming back. The Alpha of the Omega. The firstborn from the dead, the Almighty. With a name above every name. I hope and trust it. You know what it is. I hope and trust that you can see it before it's too late. And you make your repentance and turn to this great name. May Yahweh bless you tonight and your understanding. Tonight I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439. Give Dr. Gary a call. He's my sponsor. Long time. Here on WWCR. We've been on here many years, and we have established the credibility of the scriptures rightly divided. I hope and trust that you'll study with us. Go to our website. Brother Bob, our webmaster, down in Arkansas, is working on a brand new, easy-to-navigate website. It's awesome, we think. There's a lot of hours that Bob has spent on this. It's just untold how many hours of editing and working on it over the years that he's put in on this. He's very devoted. And that's oneyahweh.com. One. O-N-E, Yahweh, Y-A-H-W-E-H, oneyahweh.com. Go there. Right now, I need your help. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 347-327-3874. My telephone number, area code 423-351-1082. I need to hear from you. I hope and trust that you will. I'll send you a free track with the name of Yahweh above every name. It'll show you how to pronounce it, how to spell it, how it was hidden, the great mystery, how that they took his name out for Baal, which is Lord. They put it in Lord and God to deceive the very elect. We love you tonight. May Yahweh bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world on WWRP on frequency 2.390. Don't forget it. We'll be in here again tomorrow night at 9 o'clock on a Monday evening on WWRB around the world on frequency 5050 and 2390. Don't forget it, and I'll see you tomorrow night. And Yahweh bless you, and Yahweh keep you.